नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the 8th canto, 15th chapter, texts 35 and 36. So we'll see what's going on here. Okay. All right, so I'll just start chanting the first verse because it's there's no purport to it. So I'll just chant that myself. Tatastadanubhavena Bhuvana Traya Vishrutam Kirtim Dikshu Vitanvana Sareja Udurariva. Translation. When Bali Maharaj performed these sacrifices, he gained a great reputation in all directions, throughout the three worlds. Thus is shown in his position, like the brilliant moon in the sky. Okay, today's verse. Bubuje Cha Shriyam Sridham Babuje Cha Sriyam Sridham Dvija Devopalambitam Dvija Devopalambitam Krita Krityam Ivatmanam Kritva Krityam Ivatmanam Manyamano Mahamanaha Manyamano Mahatmanaha Babuje cha Sriyam Sridham Dvija Devo Palambitam Krita Krityami Vatmanam Manyamano Mahamanaha Babuje cha Sriyam Sridham Dvija Devo Palambitam Krita Krityam Ivatmanam Manyamano Mahamanaha Please continue chanting. Dhammanamanam Mano Mahamanaha Okay. Font, Battlestar, okay. I think we got it. Let's see. How do you get to the... Oh, up here. Right here?
No, yeah, yeah. But then switch up the TV until you're ready. Are you ready?
Let me see if I sit on... Okay. Okay. All right, here we go. Looks like you'll have a presentation today after all. Okay. So let me go back. We'll get the word meanings. So just to, as a beginning of the class, we'll mention here that it is the 8th canon, 15th chapter. Text 35 and 36. And today's topic will be accessing power. We all want to have power, but it's interesting, we have to access it. It's not like we have so much of our own power by yourself, but we're always reaching to gain more power, aren't we? We want to become stronger than our own personal power. And this is what we're learning in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's so many wonderful stories. And we're entering a beautiful pastime, which really brings this out. So this was the verse I chanted earlier. And that's the translation. And here's the verse we just finished chanting. Let's do the word for words. Babuje enjoyed cha also, Shriyam, opulence, Suridham, prosperity, Dvija, of the Brahmanas, Deva, as good as the demigods, Upalambitam, achieved because of the favor. Krita Krityam, very satisfied by his activities. Eva, like that. Atmanam, himself. Manyamanaha, thinking. Mahamanaha, the great-minded. Translation. Because of the favor of the Brahmanas, the great soul Bali Maharaj, thinking himself very satisfied, became very opulent and prosperous and began to enjoy the kingdom. Please repeat. Because of the favor of the Brahmanas, the great soul Bali Maharaj, thinking himself very satisfied, became very opulent and prosperous and began to enjoy the kingdom. So the purport. The Brahmanas are called Dvijadeva and the Kshatriyas are generally called Naradeva. The word Deva actually refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Brahmanas guide human society in becoming happy by satisfying Lord Vishnu. And according to their advice, the Kshatriyas, who are called Naradeva, keep law and order so that other people namely the Vaishyas and Sudras, may properly follow regulative principles. In this way, people are gradually elevated to Krishna consciousness. Om Gyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmanitamyena Tasmaya Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitamyena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadanti Swabhadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So let's read the verses again. When Bali Maharaj performed these sacrifices, he gained a great reputation in all directions throughout the three worlds. Thus he shone in his position like the brilliant moon in the sky. And text 36. Because of the favor of the Brahmanas, the great soul Bali Maharaj, thinking himself very satisfied, became very opulent and prosperous and began to enjoy the kingdom. So this is an amazing pastime. Actually, this is the end of the particular eighth canto. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Bali Maharaj Conquers the Heavenly Planets. So we have just finished the pastime of the churning of the ocean of milk. What a great endeavor it was. All these great demigods, these devas, and these great demons, the daityas, they actually were great enemies, arch enemies. They hated each other, but yet they cooperated for something very valuable. They all wanted this nectar, which made you powerful, which made you intelligent, strong, and so many different things. So they cooperated to perform this great churning of the ocean of milk. What an endeavor. Simply amazing. Just for this nectar. And immediately, the demigods we know snatched it up. And they could have just drank it all right then and there. But yet, what did they do? They started arguing about, you know, who's going to be the demons. Okay, I'm sorry. The demons actually snatched up the nectar right from this incarnation, Dhanvantari. And they could have drank it right there and there. But what do? They started arguing about who should take it first. And then during this argument, that's when Mohini Murti appeared. And she very much enchanted them. And they willingly gave her all the nectar. And then she cheated them and gave it all to the demigods. And this is amazing. It's just amazing all through this. And then what happened is there was another war because of that. You know, they didn't get any. So there's another war, but yet the demigods, they won this time. What happened here? I don't know what happened. Let's start again. Let me hit play. Oh, that's the wrong slide. That's the savior of the world, Srila Prabhupada. Let me, I'm not familiar with this. Let me start over again. Go back to where we were. Okay, here we were. Okay, we had Dhanvantari appear. The demigods were cheated. I mean, the demons were cheated. And then there was a huge war. And this time the demigods won. And they actually killed their leader of the demons, Bali Maharaj. He was actually killed in this battle. But yet, due to his spiritual master, Sukracharya, he actually brought him back to life by some transcendental mantras. And they performed a yajna, and he gave him this special conch shell. And we see there on the right, that's actually Prahlad Maharaj. He blessed him with a garland that never fades. So here he's got some blessings. Bali Maharaj, by his own power, lost. But yet, because he knew the science of how to access power greater than his own, which was through the brahmanas, the saintly people, his spiritual master actually brought him back to life. And then he got so much power and effulgence that he gathered his armies and they surrounded the heavenly planet, Indraloka. And Indra, just by looking out his window and seeing the effulgence of Bali Maharaj, he can see that there's no way I could win. Where did he get all his power? This is amazing. Just by looking at him, he could tell. So he went to his spiritual master, Brihaspati, and he said, what can I do? I mean, it looks like he's indefeatable. He's got so much enthusiasm. Look at him just from seeing his brilliance from his body. He's so powerful. And the demigods had just recently drank all that nectar that they churned, and they became very powerful. But yet even a greater power than that was the power that you can receive from the brahmanas, the saintly people. And this is what Bali Maharaj did. He was so grateful to his spiritual master and the brahmanas for bringing him back to life that he served them with a sincere and grateful heart, so much so that they all blessed him with so much power that he was able to take control of the heavenly planets. In fact, he took control of the entire universe. This is how much power he received. And this is the mother of the demigods, Aditi. She was very much in a grievance because the spiritual master, Brihaspati, told Indra, there's no way you could win at this time. The best thing for you to do is run, flee, hide. So they all did. They went in disguise because the demigods, they have mystic power. They could change their forms at will to whatever they like. So they're in hiding. They're actually being like chased after by the demons. So the mother of the demigods was very much aggrieved. And she approached her husband and prayed, please, what can I do to, you know, help my children? You know, she's just in so much pain to see them suffering like that and losing their abode. So her husband, Kashyapa Muni, said, there's only one way you could do this is by performing a sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord. So she performed this Payavrata vow. And she pleased the Supreme Lord. And he appeared before her like that, with forearms, with his weapons. And he agreed to become her son. Because Brihaspati actually told Lord Indra, he said, it's better for you to run now, but just be patient. Because just as Bali Maharaj pleased the brahmanas, he got this great power. So soon, he's going to displease the brahmanas. And they're going to curse him and he'll lose everything. So just wait until this time. So this is Lord Vamana. He appeared at the request of the mother of the demigods. And he was very beautiful. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who came as a dwarf brahmana boy. And so what happened is we learned in these verses that the demons had to perform more and more Vedic sacrifices in order to keep their position in the heavenly planets. So they wanted to perform at least 100 sacrifices because they know that you can't attain anything unless you perform sacrifice. And you can't maintain it either unless you perform sacrifice. So this is what they're engaged in. And Lord Vamanadeva, he appears right in the middle of when he's performing these Ashwamedha sacrifices. And he tells him, all I want is 3 steps of land. That's all I need. Because, you know, the brahmanas come. Everybody knows you should please the brahmanas. You ask for blessings. This is how you get power. So you please them. But sometimes they may give you blessings that you're not too sure about. It's going to be a blessing or not. So he was so attracted, and Lord Vamanadeva was so effulgent and so beautiful. Everybody was just enchanted. And Bali Maharaj, actually within himself, he offered his obeisances to him. He was so beautiful. And he asked for 3 steps of land. And Sukracharya, his spiritual master, told him, actually, I can see in the future here, this is actually Vishnu in disguise as this brahmana. So don't give him anything. Otherwise, you'll lose everything. And Bali Maharaj thought, he said, well, I gave him my word. He is a brahmana, after all. So I think I'll just give it to him. And he knew what was at stake. He knew what he was doing. He was in control of the entire universe. And yet, he still wanted to please the Lord. He knew he was going to lose everything. So he said, I'll do that. And Brihaspati became so angry. Sukracharya became so angry that he cursed him. And he said, therefore, you lose everything. But he wanted to please the Supreme Lord. And this is him surrendering to Lord Vamanadeva. His spiritual master trying to stop him. But he knew that his grandfather was Prahlad Maharaj, was a great devotee of Vishnu. So I want to please him also. And this is what happened. First step took over the entire world. And then his second step, he reached and covered the entire universe. And this is Krishna. And yet Bali Maharaj, he took a great step too. Can you imagine the step he took? Was to lose everything just to please the Lord. He surrendered to the Lord. And the Lord said, okay, this is how he appeared. That Krishna embodies everything. Everything is within him. He's the source of everything. This is the supreme power here. And this is why the brahmanas are so great, because they carry the Supreme Lord in their hearts. And that supreme power comes through them. Can you imagine this? So they arrested Bali Maharaj. Where can I put my third step? So they tied him up with the rope of Vasuki, the snake. And here he's being challenged. So he says, my Lord, please put your 3rd step on my head. This is Atmanivedanam. He surrendered everything. And this is when he became a Mahajan. When you surrender everything to Krishna, you become a great soul, great Mahajan. So we can see Krishna comes in the form of a dwarf brahmana. He comes in so many different incarnations. Even sends his pure devotees, his empowered servants. And they all teach one thing. They're all teaching to become servants of the great souls, to please the great souls. Even the Supreme Lord himself, Ram, came. We could see him kind of in the middle on top there. Even him, he would try to get the blessings from his own father. He would get the blessings from the great saintly personalities. And there's so many wonderful stories about how, even Lord Ram's father, when the great sage, is it Vishishtamuni came? Vishwamitra came to the house. And, that's the culture. They want to please the great brahmanas. What did they do? He put him on his throne. And he worshipped him and said, everything I have is due to your mercy, due to your blessings, due to your grace. Please bless me. He asked for blessings. And he said, okay, no blessings. Give me your son, Ram. But his son was so dear to him. He loved him so much. He tried to talk him out of the blessings. I'll come with my own army. I'll come. you know, leave Ram home. So the other Brahmanas had to tell Janaka Maharaj. They said, oh, please, you don't want to mess with this Brahmana. Please, you please him. Don't displease him. Give him your son. Don't worry. They'll protect him. So they brought Ram, and, you know, to kill the demons that were had these mystic powers that were harassing the Brahmanas. So they came on that mission. And then they went to go see another king. Was it Janaka? Janaka Maharaj, who was performing sacrifices. And this great sage, Vishwamitra, came there. And he also said, okay, put him on the throne, and he pleased him and said, please give me your blessings. So what is his blessings? So he said, I want to see that bow that you have. So there's this great bow that was handed down through generations. And that bow is Lord Shiva's bow. He actually gave it to the demigods after a great battle. So it was handed down through generations. And during the time Janaka was actually plowing the field with a golden plow to perform some sacrifices, and in the earth there was this golden chest, and there was a beautiful girl in there, beautiful baby girl, and it was Sita. Sita means born from the earth. So actually he was revealed to him by Narada Muni that this is actually the goddess of fortune herself. And so there was a thing where they said, whoever can string this bow, what to speak, lift it and string it, then they can actually marry Sita. So many great warriors and kings came and they tried. But Sita would always watch from the balcony, and she would pray to Krishna, please, I don't want to marry this puffed up king. You know, she knew that the greatest quality was humility. But all these great kings were so puffed up and proud of their own opulences and beauty and strength. And even Ravana himself came and couldn't lift it. So Vishwamitra asked the king, I want to see this bow. And he wanted Ram to lift it. And Ram didn't even look at it. And he didn't even approach it until he got the blessings from Vishwamitra Muni. And Vishwamitra Muni said, I bless you, Ram. Go lift the bow. And he came up to the bow. And Lord Ram is so dramatic. Everybody's like, wow. Everybody's praying that, oh, this is such a beautiful personality. I want him to marry my daughter. And Sita's already given her heart and soul to him. And everybody's thinking, wow, what a beautiful personality. He has to marry, you know, this. So Lord Ram approaches it and he just stares at it. And everybody's like freaking out, and their minds are reeling, and they're wondering, you know, what's going to happen, please. And then he touches the bow. Actually, you know, Vishwamitra said, lift the bow. So Ram touches the bow, you know, holds the bow for a little bit, and then just immediately just lifts it up, like if it was a mushroom or something. And then to see, he puts one end of the bow down in the ground and he bends it to like a semicircle. And then he strings the bow. And he wanted to actually see what this bow is made of. Actually, it was made up of celestial wood, diamonds, gems, jewels, so many amazing substances. So he wanted to check out this bow. So he pulled it back as far as it would go, and he just snapped it. And a huge, tumultuous sound, you know, it broke the bow. And then this, you know, we know the rest of the story. But just to show you, and the blessings here was how actually Dasarath was actually thinking how before Vishwamitra came, you know, who could marry Ram? And the sage came. And that's what he actually did. He actually blessed Ram by giving him Sita. In that way. And so many ways. So the Supreme Personality of God, it comes in so many different pastimes we're going to see throughout the Bhagavatam to receive and give blessings and give us instructions about how to access this power. So He sends his representatives like Srila Prabhupada. He's come, and you could just see Prabhupada. Just look at him. You can see he has a vision. As sage, he can just see beyond what's here. There's actually we're listening to some memories, and this was in London, right after Srila Prabhupada installed the deities there. Yogeshwar was remembering how Prabhupada was in tears, and everybody was just focused on Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was all focused on the deities, and everybody was just mesmerized by Prabhupada and so focused on him. And Prabhupada performed the Abhishek, he did the Artik, and then he circumambulated the deities. And they're so focused on Prabhupada, he'd just go like that, and everybody just bounce up to the ceilings and dance and in ecstasy. And then Prabhupada, with tears in his eyes, came and sat on the Vyasasana. And he said, there is another world. There's a spiritual world. And he went on to describe it in the most wonderful way. All what happens in the spiritual world. And Yogeshwar says, just by him saying that one sentence, it was like we're all transferred into another world. He took us out of this material world. And he said it was so wonderful. So if you could see right here on the right of the deities, there's a Vyasasana there. And that little Vyasasana, when Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture in one of the halls there in London, Srila Prabhupada was chanting, and all of a sudden he was chanting the Narada Muni song. And I remember someone was saying in class the other day how, you know, the demigods sponsor the spiritual master like that. And Narada Muni had actually appeared. And Prabhupada was seeing Narada Muni, and he started chanting the song to Narada Muni. And then so Prabhupada said that you should put a Vyasasana on the side of the altar for Narada Muni. So that's what that chair is there. So just see Prabhupada. And what are the blessings of Srila Prabhupada? It's not so much, you know, touching your head, or they have these yogis, they come and they poke your eyes. Have you ever done that? You push really hard on your eyes, or if you put your knees to your eyes, and you see this bright light, it emanates. It's really far out. It's like a psychedelic experience. You can actually see it. So they do that to these people, and they think, wow, I'm enlightened. Well, it's not like such a cheap blessing like that. But actually, it's the words that emanate from the spiritual master's mouth. Just like an example in London. And look at all these words are put down in these books by Srila Prabhupada. And he's revealing all the pastimes of Krishna with it, how to actually associate with the Supreme Lord and how he treats his devotees. He's revealing the spiritual world of Radha Krishna. He's revealing the incarnations of Krishna who comes, and Krishna himself as Lord Chaitanya, and how he loves his devotees and how his devotees love him. This is what was revealed by Srila Prabhupada. So this is what Prabhupada's mercy. He's actually brought the ship of ISKCON to take us out of this ocean of misery, which people are just suffering and drowning in pain and darkness. And this is what Prabhupada revealed through his books, through his sentences, his speaking. He revealed Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. And not only that, he even went beyond that into the spiritual world, even higher than Vaikuntha, into the Goloka planets. And he revealed the most intimate pastimes of Krishna and his devotees in the spiritual world. This is the power of the great brahmanas, the great devotees. They reveal to us this greatest power. What could be more greater than that? To realize, have this knowledge that you're not this machine, you're not this body, but you're a spiritual being, and you have this great intimate power and association with the Supreme Lord. This is very powerful. So now let's go on here. This is today. It's a special day. I wish you happy Halloween. It's a special opportunity today to really go crazy. But what do we experience on Halloween day? It's just all we experience is darkness, right? It's just darkness, and you go out there in the streets and you just see, what do you see? The Walking Dead. This is actually what's happening out there. The people are walking dead. And to identify with the body is actually to be dead. Because we're not the body, it's a machine you're identifying with. And this is actually what's happening. Very graphically, we can see this is happening. This walking dead. But yet, by the great mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his blessings, this walking dead, they can be actually elevated and liberated by the mercy of the devotees of Krishna. And you can see, he brought the holy name. Transcendental sound vibration to actually benedict this walking dead. So very graphically showing here, there's actually dead people out there. They're actually lying in the street dead. And by the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, the devotees with the transcendental sound vibrations, they're actually raising the dead. You can see. This is very graphically shown, but this is actually a fact. The devotees are actually raising people from the dead. The dead darkness of ignorance, of suffering. So these are just some more pictures to see how the transcendental messages are being brought to these dead people. So that we're actually seeing that they're in touch with these sentences, these words of Srila Prabhupada. The devotees are very blissfully out there distributing transcendental knowledge amongst the dead. Actually with great power, just like the great priest of the demigods, he raised from the dead, the king of the demons, Bali Maharaj, raised him from the dead. So this power comes through the devotees. But it's not their power, it's Krishna's power. But when you please the devotees, then that power comes through the devotees. Like we sing every morning, Yashya Prashada Bhagavat Prashada, but the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. So we please the spiritual master every day in every way. We can distribute this transcendental knowledge. We get it ourselves. We become self-realized. We realize we're not the body. And then you see the soul in everyone else and you want to help bring out that life from these dead bodies, which people are so interested in decorating and imitating. You see, they're decorating the dead. They're imitating the dead. Costumes of the dead. It just shows they're revealing who they are. What they are, right? So this is the devotee. The power of the devotees and power of Srila Prabhupada to bring us this transcendental knowledge, this life of kirtan. The transcendental messages given to all types of people. So many types of belief and faith. Were these some Muslims that Shastra Krit was preaching to? They actually took some books. They offered a candle to Lord Damodar. They engaged in some devotional service. They heard the holy names. They chanted in ecstasy with the devotees. They're actually reading the books. So you can see this is natural because the soul is looking for something. It's looking for power. It's looking for pleasure. But yet it finds a glimmer of it here in the material world and it becomes attached to it. But yet we're showing people where the real power is, where the real pleasure is, and it's being explained to them. And it's actually entering into their hearts. And they're becoming happy. So devotees going out of their way to actually sit down amongst the dead and preach. Enliven them. Elevate them. Lift them up. Put them on their shoulders. Chant and dance with them. No matter what they look like, give them a book. Look at how many people are there. They're like prisoners. They're like so dejected people. But this is a very graphic view to show what the reality really is. It doesn't matter what you're wearing. You can have the best clothes, you can have the worst clothes, you can have the worst body, the best body, but it's all temporary, it's all illusion. There's something greater. There's something nectar out there. And it's explained in these books. And it's spoken out by the devotees. It's read to them. It's forced into their ears and into their eyes. This is the mercy. This is the blessings of the devotees. This is how you access that great power. And this call comes from the Savior of the world, Srila Prabhupada. Jai. So, any comments, questions, realizations? Yes. The mic is coming, I think. Is there a mic?
Looking at the pictures you just showed us, and my own understanding of Prabhupada's vision and his teachings of the Vedic lore, it kind of looks like it's a reintroduction of Indian culture and ancient Indian pastimes, and to me personally, it just feels vastly superior to what is introduced out there as far as The Walking Dead. And I was wondering if you would comment a little further why you think that is. I mean, why is that? Why is this superior to? Why is that? Why is that?
Well, it's Kali Yuga, and I guess as they say, the far west you go, the more degraded it gets. And just like in India, a lot of devotees would go to India, you know, in the beginning days, and they would spend some time with some of the devotees' families that lived in India. And you could see the devotees, the children, would actually approach their parents in the morning and touch their feet. Whereas in the 60s in America, there was a whole war against the parents and the kids. They all turned into hippies, you know. And that's Prabhupada. They said, Prabhupada, what is your miracle? He said, my miracle, very humbly, he says, it's turn hippies into happies. And now it's turning the walking dead into the living.
Yeah, because all I see is, you know, I see the cycle, the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful cycle.
Yes.
That it went from life to death, and now we're seeing the flowering of life, and we're bringing that life back.
Exactly.
Truly.
Exactly. Yeah, thank you. Any other comments, realizations? What time is it? Time flies by. All right, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.